This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. Show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Everybody, it is episode 180, which we are continuing our tradition of celebrating the 80s when we come around to the 80s. So in another year and a half,
it's been 100 episodes.
100 episodes. Since we did
that. Yeah,
and we're still here.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
New place.
Very
we're
nice.
Still here.
New place. Yeah.
Yeah, podcast.
Well, we're moving on up. Oh wait, that's the 70s.
We're broadcasting live above Activate Gaming. This segment's brought to you by Falling Down Beer Company. A lot happened this past week, and we were down at the Arnold. We'll touch base on that.
Well, we didn't have a show last week.
Well, no, we did it on Thursday.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Not we didn't have a regular Tuesday show.
Yeah, not our fault.
To quote Dave, what did he say? Some
bastard.
No, he said like some – oh, dang it. He had a great word. He had a great word.
Nincompoop.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was now.
Somebody did something across the street which caused us not to have power.
Yeah, we lost a bunch of power anyway. somebody turn my headphones up or something, or I can't hardly hear anything.
No, that's the headphones are there. Those are what control the headphones.
So the moral of the story is to power this show, we would have needed a bolt of lightning to actually hit the flex capacitor, which goes into the computer, and we would have had power last week, but we didn't. So we're here again on Tuesday. But last Thursday, we did have Amy Hayes on. And if you get a chance to listen to that podcast, that's finally up on facebook.com/radio undercard. Follow us there. We are going to start off with UFC 196, which brought us Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz. Also in the show, though, Troy Lamson will be on at about like the 8 o'clock hour, 8:15 hour. So that's good with the show. And also, one of our ring girls has become a ring woman, and we're going to be celebrating that later on tonight. So I'm sorry. I've just been waiting to say that all. Oh, boy. The show's starting off great. So UFC 196, let's get going on this. So Conor McGregor steps up in weight to fight Nate Diaz, and Nate Diaz takes him down in the second round, wins by rear naked choke. And with these kind of things, there's so much to break down. I'm going to try to keep it as organized as possible. So let's start the fight itself. Then I'll break down each fighter, and then from there – we'll talk company. And by company, when you were in military, what it mean?
A company is the group of people. So you have four platoons to a company.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I use company for UFC going forward. So when I say the company, we're just referring to UFC.
Okay. Because there's other companies out there.
But oh, Bellator.
The company will be
UFC.
UFC. Okay.
This is very Orwellian, actually.
Yeah. I know.
So, the company.
The company. So Conor McGregor.
Dana is watching.
Here's the best part.
He does
about,
speak in double talk.
Word.
Word.
Here's the best part about UFC 196 for Conor McGregor. You had nothing to lose. You were going to be featherweight champ whether you won or lost this fight. You took a step up, and here's what typically happens. Manny Pacquiao has found it out in boxing. As you move up and you're able to knock out people of smaller weights, that sometimes doesn't go as you move up. Also, Nate Diaz had amazing range, amazing reach that Conor McGregor hadn't been used to. But he made one move, and he looked a little bit tired. Nate Diaz then started striking him. He turns his back. Nate Diaz sinks it.
Yep.
Quick tap. All you idiots out there that saying that Conor McGregor is a wimp for tapping have obviously never had a rear naked choke sunk in.
Or any kind of choke.
Or anything, okay? He can do whatever he wants. He's the one in the ring fighting.
Right.
I give Conor McGregor mad props. After, he was very humble in losing.
Yes.
He was absolutely – I like him more now.
Yeah.
Remember last show when he won? I was like, you know what? He's starting to grow on me.
100% class act all the way, from how he accepted the loss to the interview afterwards, what he said. He took, and he even said it. He goes, you know what? I was used to hitting guys with those bombs and them going down, and he didn't go down, and I got a little panicked, and it was a little tough for me because I moved up. And that's the other thing, too, that when you move up a weight class, you're moving more mass. So the cardio that you used to do that would get you through the lower weight classes ain't going to cut it anymore, because you're moving more mass, so you're going to get tired a lot faster.
I think Conor did rehydrate, though, to that. I think it's more that he wasn't used to fighting somebody that had that range. I really do. I think Conor rehydrates to one set.
Yeah, but I've never seen Conor – I mean, granted, the last fight before that, it was over in 5 seconds, but I've never seen Conor that winded before.
Right. Oh, no. He was definitely out of shape. I mean, he was carrying – no, probably 160, because what do you weigh in at 168? But you brought up a great quote. I'm going to even bring up a better quote, though. He said that Nate Diaz wasn't going down, and he liked it. He liked that he could hit a guy, and he kept coming forward.
Yeah.
I love that quote.
Yeah.
Guy loves to fight.
Yeah.
I mean,
he fought the frickin' mountain. Come on.
Yeah. He's just a cool guy. I mean, we all have a Conor McGregor in our group that goes out to the bars with us, the guy that wants to fight everybody.
Right.
And, you like him. Those were the old days. Mm-hmm. But you like him. He's the fun guy. But you always got to keep your eye on him.
Right.
Because you don't know what he's
doing.
Whoa.
He didn't mean it. We don't want to throw down right now. Let me buy you a drink.
I had to talk our way out of so many of those.
With him?
No, it was a different friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
He's had way too much to drink tonight. He's really
yep.
Oh, my
God. I had a friend like that, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh. So I'll have to tell you the Soshimoko story sometime.
I'll tell you the
pool. I seriously almost died.
Yeah, I'll tell you the pool hall story where a guy messed up a whole bunch of Harleys.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that one.
He's probably still not clear, just so you know.
You know?
They may just be biding their time.
Well, it was 20 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
I know.
So where
some of those guys are just getting out.
that is true.
And they're still pissed about what he did to their heart.
That is true, too. Yeah.
So where does Conor McGregor go from here as we're breaking down the fight? Conor McGregor
Ireland.
Will go back to featherweight and defend his title, and he will probably do so well. You know what? He had a 15-fight winning streak, which is unheard of in MMA. It eventually catches up with you. He's at an unbelievable pace. He probably needs a little bit of a break. But he's a featherweight, and he'll go back down, and he'll rule that division. So let's move on to Nate Diaz.
Okay.
First off, Nate Diaz gets a cut above the eye. Nate Diaz, who is an avid pot smoker, admits to smoking pot. When does Nevada Commission suspend him till? 420. It's like they just wanted to F with him.
That is awesome. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. This is a big
wait. 420
April
this year?
20th. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is weird. All right. So I just booked a flight to Denver today.
On 420?
Nope.
Oh.
But I will be coming back on 421, but my flight leaves
on
Denver at 420 in the afternoon.
All
I was
right.
like, really? Delta? Did you play? You couldn't have made it like 422, 418.
Not
Your
in
flight
Denver.
Leaves at 420.
That's right. Not in Denver,
I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
McGregor did catch him pretty good. He had a good cut under his eye, or above his eye, I'm sorry, and that will make a suspension happen. So McGregor did not get suspended at all. Nate Diaz did get suspended till that. So this whole experiment with Dana White, with McGregor moving up, ideally before the dropout and Nate Diaz having to replace, you had Conor McGregor possibly having two belts. I think that's a dream to kick down a little bit and just enjoy what you have now, UFC. And it was – a night of upsets because we move along to another fight here. Misha Tate, which I predicted. I'm just saying. I predicted.
Did you?
Beats Holly Holm. Yeah, I did.
All right.
Holly Holm. And Holly Holm.
I believe he did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he did.
Holly Holm is winning most of the fight, although it's a competitive fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Misha Tate, for the second time that night, she had tried before. But the second time, tries to do the rear naked choke. Holly Holm, it gets sunk in. She tries to flip her. They both go down the canvas, and actually Holly Holm did not tap. She actually fell asleep, and the fight was over. Congratulations to Misha Tate. Huge upset.
She fell asleep.
She went to sleep.
I understand. Yeah. But that makes it sound like she took a nap.
She just took a nap.
Like she overslept. No. Like she went to her corner and then like overslept. They were like, Holly, you got to fight.
She's no.
Like,
that was
two more minutes.
That
two
was
more
the that was the Bellator fight with I can't think of their names. The two street fighters that fought in Bellator. And then the
Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, Kimbo Slice and Dada. Yeah, and that was Dada. He literally just kind of walked over and then fell asleep. Yeah.
I go sleeping right here.
Yeah, exactly.
Serious note, is Dada even out of the hospital still? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
We should Google
actually,
that.
Yeah, I'm going to find that out right now.
So Misha Tate, huge upset. Big win of her career. She was a scrapper. I told Rochelle, I told people that week. It just felt like the stars were aligning for her. Sometimes in a fight that's so tough to pick, I will get insider information from some people, but sometimes you just got to go on hunches. And my hunch was Misha Tate. It paid off. I'm thankful for everybody that did follow what I said, and I appreciate all the fan response that I got through text and everything like that.
So was that great. Is that a title fight? Is she now?
She is. She is a title holder.
So now what is that going to do for Ronda? She's going to fight Misha now?
You want to go there already? But here we go. Okay.
Here we go. Because everybody was already – Because here's the thing. So Ronda either has to go after Misha to get her title back, or she has to go after Holly and basically make up for her loss. So which way is she going to go?
Well, the company –
The company, yes.
Bum, bum, bum. We need that drop.
Is about making money, just like the undercard's about making money, just like anybody's about making money.
Okay.
So what should happen? I'll explain what should happen in a rational world using logic. I'm talking taking what you learn in college logic and going forward.
And then we'll talk about what the company's actually going
to
do.
Ronda Rousey lost in embarrassing fashion to Holly Holm.
Yes.
Where she was just never – at one point in the fight was Holly Holm ever in danger.
Correct.
And then Holly Holm is winning the fight even on the scorecards.
Yeah.
And Misha Tate pulls off a victory with like 2 minutes left in the fifth round.
Yeah.
You should take Ronda – to fight Holly.
Right.
And that would produce a number one contender to once again go against Misha Tate.
Okay.
Or automatically reward Holly Holm with an automatic rematch.
Yeah.
That's what you would do is if you cared about MMA.
Logical. Right. So now what do you think the company's going to do?
No, we already know because Dana two days ago decided to say, well, this sets up a rematch Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate three.
Oh, it is three. Okay. I thought they already fought three times.
How in the hell after Holly Holm – it just doesn't even make sense. Holly Holm because dominates – it makes sense from company standpoint. Ronda sells tickets.
Right. Well, that's the thing. And because she is, you know, the company's kind of golden calf.
But it makes absolutely no sense in the fight world. So Dana comes out and says that and I actually have the – I believe it was MMA Mania, or I'll have to find the exact page that actually did it. But you're playing around with some sound drops.
Trying to find it.
That's what that was?
The company.
Sorry. I was going to turn up so loud. Sorry about that.
He wants Ronda back out there making money. I can't blame him from a company standpoint, from a fight fan standpoint.
Bum.
It should be somebody that steps up behind these two girls to fight Misha Tate. Or Misha Tate, who's been a scrapper for the last – 5-6 years, even with Strikeforce, she should get a break and watch these two fight it out and see who is.
But is there, so if it wasn't Holly and if it wasn't Ronda, is there anybody right now in that division that could go up against Misha Tate and have any kind of chance?
There's a couple people, but what I would do is I'd wait.
Yeah.
I'd give her the rest and I'd make Holly and Ronda come out and fight for it. Because I would like to see how Ronda does versus Holly first, psychologically.
Yeah, before she goes back to
Does to Misha Tate. Hide those arms, Misha.
Right?
Yeah, like, if I was...
Judo toss!
Yeah, if I was Misha Tate... No, if I was Misha Tate's trainer, week one would be amputating the two arms. Yeah. And then learning how to fight with your legs without arms
Taekwondo.
To beat Ronda. Right.
Taekwondo.
I think I can still picture the Strike Force match with her. Where, like, Tate's arm's just dangling after Ronda had clearly snapped it.
Yeah.
Going, oh, it's fine. It's supposed to look that way.
It's only a flesh wound.
Exactly.
It's been a flesh wound. So, I'm invincible.
So if I was going to train Misha Tate, I'd be like, first we got to go get to a minor procedure. We're going to remove your arms.
Right.
And we're going to win this fight. So that's my problem with the company. I was going to give them so much props because – well thought out, good card, broke some records.
Right.
I was watching it after the fact because of the Arnold, which we were down at. Watched the presser the next morning, and I was like, wow, really, really good stuff, UFC. And I was starting to be on the side of, you know what, UFC is why I like MMA sometimes because, it is theater of the bizarre kind of. But then Dana comes out there 2 days later and says that.
Going back to our previous thing, Dada got out of the hospital 4 days ago.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is he okay?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it just said I didn't read the article, but it just said Dada got out of the hospital today, and it was dated 4 days ago.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, I was curious to know. I'm sure every bar was packed with McGregor and Diaz. I didn't watch it at a bar, but Diaz is a fan favorite. He's kind of like a people's champ. McGregor has a huge following.
Kind of is too, yeah.
I imagine the bars were packed.
Oh,
I imagine
sure
there
were
some really good parties for UFC. So I was going to give the company mad props.
Dun, dun, dun.
But then, you know, he comes out and says that. But you know what? I said I can't imagine a world without Dana White, so I don't want him to go anywhere. He's too much entertainment. Don't go anywhere, Dana, ever. Just stay around, dude, because we wouldn't have a show. What would
stay
we talk
where?
About?
Stay where? Where should he stay?
Stay at UFC.
Where?
Zuffa. Stay. Company. The company. There we go. You know.
The videos? You're just going to have way too much fun with that.
Is that coming through on the mics pretty good? That sound?
Yeah, pretty
I'm good.
Right. I'm going
to bump it up.
Rip it and send it to her.
Well, when it comes through like that, who knows? I mean, until we actually hear it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to rip it and send it to her.
So. Right. So that happened, and then what else had happened? We went down to the Arnold, and we covered boxing. We didn't really cover it as much as the Ring Girls worked it.
So I heard and I saw on social media that you met Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, well, hold on. Play that sound bite that you've been playing. I met Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, whoops.
Hold on.
Hold on. Set it up. Hold on.
I met Arnold Schwarzenegger. What is that, a 5 second drop?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's about as long as our conversation
was. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, you just say, hi, Brad.
No, it was literally.
He said, would you please get out of the way? I have to get to the crapper.
No. I really wish I was.
Get to the crapper. He really had to drop the deuce, dude. He eats a lot of protein.
I really wish I had audio going because he did give me a piece of cake or something like that with an accent. Piece of cake.
Piece of cake.
And then he continued on by me like I was nobody.
Was he saying, could you hand me a piece of cake?
No. He was saying,
I like to eat cake when I'm in the crapper.
No, he was saying, piece of cake, I acknowledge your question. Yeah. I am going to help you in that regard. And then his security team said no. And pushed him out.
Wow.
What was your question?
Grab a photo.
Oh, can I have a photo?
He agreed.
Yeah, no problem.
He said piece of cake.
Well, yeah, but and then his
security card went. Nope.
Security was like, the cake is gone.
So the big joke.
We ate the cake.
The big joke was so immediately after that happens, I researched what a conversation, how what it is, and it is really one one statement to one statement. Right. So I said I had a conversation with
her. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I was like, holy if you shit, if you say something
and they respond, that is a conversation.
Yep. So it's, I've had a conversation with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There you go.
I don't know if I should say that on the air. I won't say that on the air, but
you just did.
Oh. No.
It's like, wait a minute. No, I can't say I had a conversation. Never mind. Don't. I didn't say that.
No, I did have a conversation. I was gonna.
He did. I can vouch for it. The girls didn't believe us though, when we found them. We're like, we saw him. He was right by us. No, he wasn't. Shut up.
You were gonna say something, Liz.
I have pictures to prove that, bad boy. Yeah. I sure do. No, I was gonna say how Arnold looked, but I'll do that off the air.
Oh, okay. But all will be right with the world.
Yeah. When all will be right with the world.
What? He'll tell us on the break, but all will be right with
the
world.
That's like the worst teases, right? Like, you say that stuff so that people like will tune in later and like maybe, but like he's like, oh, we're not, there's something so good.
But I can't.
You know, but I'm not going to say it.
Shit, I'll say it then. So he was as close to me and Marv, like right here.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know,
I've often been Arnold stand-in.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
He had theater makeup on.
Yeah.
Lots of theater makeup.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe he just came from one of those,
press commercial.
He had come from, an appearance.
He did an autograph signing.
He had just come
out. Anyone that wanted could get his autograph. Yeah.
He had just come from a drag show. You know, no big deal.
But that's common. And that's very common. He's 68 years old. He looks 68 years old.
I mean, you know, he's probably, they probably had a base or whatever just for like photos and stuff like that. So right. it wouldn't be that uncommon.
Or they were a weekend at Bernie. Him.
Oh.
And that's why they wouldn't let you
the
take
security,
the photo.
Yeah,
he was very much alive.
They just all the, that's all. Oh my god, no! It was just like True Lies. They had the recording, right? And like that happened to be on Piece of Cake when you said, "Can I get a picture?" They played it, thinking it was going to be like, "I'm too busy," but it was like piece of cake, and they were like, "Oh shit, no, we have to go, Nah, he was totally dead, dude. He died like 5 years ago.
Well, the girls got to take in the Arnold. You want to tell the audience what the Arnold's like and everything like that for people that have not been there.
I've never been there. It was my first year going.
Yeah, same.
There were – the girls to me looked nasty.
Brad was afraid to say that. It looked like Arnold may have had some makeup on, which is completely in the realm of possibilities considering he's an actor. But Liz just comes right out the gate with, these girls were skanky bitches. They look nasty.
No, it wasn't like that. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
there's only so many ways to take that, Liz.
I mean,
a lot of them were on a lot of steroids, and you could tell.
They were
especially close.
So
I think that's
huge.
What she means.
Those were
They were 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why.
Are you sure you were at the Arnold and not like drag queen bingo?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I think it's cool, like, when, you know, you can get yourself to do that, but.
If you asked any of them, like, how many years have you been to the Arnold? Did they, like, count with their feet?
The first day.
I've been here for 5 years.
I've been here for.
So bad.
Say what? Okay, but what was
the second day?
Ignoring the women that you thought were, you know, not so nice looking. Well, of course they were orange because you put on fake spray tan. They look like Oompa Loompas. Look at Donald Trump. No, he looks like a giant Oompa Loompa because of spray tan.
It was very fun. The first day we did, we kind of just had to like walk around. There wasn't anyone there. But the second day it was shoulder to shoulder. It took us like 20 minutes to get maybe 10 feet.
It was terrible. I thought we were going to get trampled or something. Dudes were like.
There were people with their kids there and they were just pushing their kids.
There were infants. Like infants. Like
strapped on. 16
months old.
Oh, one of those Bjorn, baby Bjorn carrier things.
And I'm like, your baby's going to get crushed.
Wow.
But it was. We got to see Arnold. The first thing we did, we walked in and. The first thing we did is we walked in and they were like, you know, with so many people here, you really don't know who to expect. And then he kind of came out. So that was cool.
He told us his cheat meal was like oatmeal and like a pancake.
Someone asked what his cheat meal was. No, it was oatmeal and strawberries. Oh, yeah. It wasn't in a pancake.
That's his cheat meal?
He's like, I had it this morning, though, for breakfast. He was kind of like beating around the question. And he's like, just like oatmeal and stuff.
Yeah, I just have oatmeal and strawberries.
Oatmeal and strawberries. Those are my cheat days. I was so good today. I had oatmeal and strawberries. Right? I was so good. And then for lunch, I had chili cheese fries. and some more pancakes.
Right.
But we got to meet a lot of cool people there, which was.
Sarah Jean Underwood.
Yeah.
We got along really well. It was really cool.
It was your highlight.
I was like, we have the same name.
She like chased
No.
That's Playmate of the Year.
That's Frank Underwood.
It was fun. It was good. Really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, what were you guys actually doing at the Arnold besides just walking around and always getting trampled on?
Not being skanky, apparently.
Well, apparently,
We were like handing out stuff for the undercard.
Okay.
And getting free stuff. Getting free stuff.
Yeah.
And then that night.
What's some of the free stuff that you got?
I got a water bottle, t-shirts. Lots of protein.
I'm sure a lot of protein.
Yeah.
We got like little keychains and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, lots of keychains.
Yep.
They were all basically the same.
Lots of keychains. I didn't get no keychains. Yeah, right. Yeah.
There was like a little belt one. It was so cute.
It's like like the lifting belts.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then we got that weight one.
The what one?
It was like a weight barbell.
Like a shake weight?
I sent you a Facebook message.
No, it was like a circle. Okay.
It was supposed to be like a dumbbell. I can't even think about it now.
No,
it was just like a weight you put on like a barbell.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. The free weight to the, go down the bar.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what it is.
I gotcha. Cool.
But it's one of those things that you got to experience and you take it in and you realize how much money still is in the health
they
and wellness.
They also did the photo with the statue.
Yes, we did the photo. So there was a photo, though, that this guy did, and he looked identical, like literally almost as big as the statue.
He had like 32,000 likes on it. It was crazy.
Still don't think it should have won.
Okay, I got to explain, though, to our audience. They might not know what it is. So you had a contest that you could win dinner with Arnold, and you had to have the most clever – there's actually a statue of Arnold
there's
in Columbus.
Two.
There's two. I was right.
But it was at the
there's
one,
two.
Though.
It was at the one. So they were going to look cute in their 80s attire because that's when the Arnold we figured out had started. And we are – it timed perfectly with starting episode 180. And then I thought, well, they have a shot at it because Friday night I was like – I looked around and looked around and nothing's there. Then this guy that looks exactly like Arnold down to the muscles, same pose, hops on.
The muscles.
And does it, the pose exactly like the statue. And he had 32,000 likes. And that's when I was like, they're not going to win. There was also a good second place one where they had a predator.
And they were and there was one where he was like laying on the ground in the sleeping bag like the same one that Arnold did.
Oh, well, that ain't
there's
good,
this one, and
was that one?
They put a
they
mirror
had a
lot
on that
of
one,
pictures.
Though. They had that on that one where they did his characters as well.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
they had a lot of likes on that one.
There was this one, and this girl, she put a mirror in one of his hands and a comb in the other one. And like she was posing with a mirror in her hand and a comb in the other one. It was really funny.
And she was like, I'm getting ready for Arnold.
Yeah, she's like getting ready for the Arnold.
Very cool.
That was cool.
But I do recommend
$5.
Wait, what?
I noticed.
I do recommend though.
That's not a foot.
Everybody trying to go check
that's
it out.
That's not my
sometimes.
Foot.
More like 3 feet.
It was fun. I would like to go
talking
next
about
year.
Yours, but
yeah, I've really never been. It was my first time, so I would definitely go next year.
Yeah, I'm still motivated from it. I'm gonna go run tomorrow.
I guess if I did it again, though, I would have a game plan of all the free stuff I was gonna hit.
Right.
All the booths.
And Sunday is
like Disney
the
World.
Best
like you gotta
day.
Plan it.
For yep.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday's the worst
like,
day. Sunday's the best.
I'm inspired.
They said Friday was the best day.
They did say that Friday was the best day because that's when they're stocked up on a bunch of stuff. Saturday is the worst day because. Not
everybody's
a lot of people get to go, like, move around to everything.
Right. Saturday,
so
we didn't even get to talk to the people at the booth. So it was just, like, free stuff. Then we're like, okay, we gotta go.
Me and Sarah had the worst luck, though. We were standing in two of the lines on Friday.
Where they're hanging
free
out,
stuff.
Like, bags of stuff.
And
they're like,
we
were
always
out.
Like, they would get to us, and they'd be like, we're out. And I'm like,
no!
We just stood in line for, like, an hour waiting for this.
That sucks.
Yeah. So.
But we were there for boxing on Saturday night. The boxing event happened. Our good friend Brian Holstein won,
keeping
his Ohio belt, cruiserweight belt. And the card, I think, had six fights total. Every one of them went to decision.
Oh, okay.
So you say competitive, but I do like to see the occasional knockout.
Well, it's yeah.
Just, but... I mean, when everything goes to decision, the nights get long.
Right.
But Troy always does a great job down there with the Arnold. And so they got to ring girl the Arnold, which is something that they can say, which is really cool, actually.
Sounded like Brad is writing a love song right there.
Writing a love song.
They all go to decision, the nights get long.
They do get long, dude.
One of the fights was like
gotta get that solo sax in the back.
Yeah, they're like, no, I think there's one 10 rounds, like 2 8 rounds.
When there's no
knockout.
Oh, yeah.
That's a long time.
That is a long time, yeah.
Well, my night was crazy. I'm going to tell the story, but I'll leave the network out. So we get there with Hill. Sugar Hill was down there with us.
Okay.
And the guy said, you know, I just fired the guy that does the announcing and the color analyst. Would you like to do it? I was like, ooh, you know, but Sugar had to get back home, but he wanted Sugar to call it and me do color analyst. And so then the guy goes, well, you're going to do the color analyst part for a major network.
Okay.
I was like, sweet. So I go, realizing, by the way, I had not shaved.
Okay.
It was worse than this.
Okay.
It was like just peach fuzz.
Okay.
I hadn't brought a dress outfit.
Okay.
Because I didn't think I was doing anything like that. So I go back and I shower at the room to get to the place. The promoter still wanted me to do it. Troy says, hey, you know, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. The network was like, no. So I go from one to like, oh, wow, really good break.
Yeah.
To a minute before the show not doing it. The promoter wanted me to. Though.
Right. But so the network said no.
So who really had
the worst weekend ever. Like you got shut down there. Arnold's like,
piece of cake
with the pitcher. And they're like, yeah, no, not
piece
happening.
Of cake. No, well, you know what? That's the industry.
The place that we were supposed to stay at apparently got
caught. Oh, yeah.
No, we can't say that.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll get in trouble.
We'll talk about it off the air, but I'll be right with the world.
At the next break.
we cannot say that on the world. We were giving them mad reviews. We already said good stuff on that. I'll fill you guys in on the break. Okay. So we got to go to our first break anyways. And we will be back.
Wait, so all the songs have been picked by Liz?
Because it's her birthday.
Because it's her birthday, and it's also keeping with the 80s theme.
The ring girl has become a ring woman.
Enjoy.
And I do want to point out Liz was not born in the 80s.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Make us all feel
by like a lot, not in the 80s.
All right, we'll be back.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard. It's episode 180. Troy Lamson will be joining us at about the 8:15 mark to talk about his victory over Brandon McLaughlin. Plus, he already has a fight lined up on the west side of the state. Undefeated as an amateur, undefeated as a pro as he continues his march on his MMA career. So that'll be about the 8:15
mark. Your Honor, if I may interject.
Yes.
Brad, as the creator of The Undercard and standing in judgment of all of us, I would like to make a motion, if it please the court.
It does.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor. I am here.
That would have killed Judge Wapner.
Wow. I am here representing my client, James Jimmy Pache.
Oh, okay.
Who, as you know, has been on relationship probation for the last several years.
Okay.
I guess we could call it that.
It is not for lack of trying. I call your attention to episodes 74 through episode 125, where he consistently was chosen as the ring girl favorite in the competition we would do, where they all, you know, they had to pick between the three of us, and
which
he was he was consistently chosen, but could
Jimmy
never,
was my favorite,
but never actually sealed the deal on any of them.
All right,
that carried over into actual relationships, where he spent some time trying to do the internet dating. I would like to admit into evidence Exhibit A, his entire blog dedicated to his shitty dating life.
Shitty is what it was.
Yeah. But new information has been brought to light, and I give you Exhibit B, the young lady sitting next to him, Becky.
Yay, Becky!
Who not only stole my seat tonight, but has apparently stolen Jimmy's heart.
Aww.
And so we would like to make a motion that the undercard officially recognize this relationship and remove Jimmy from dating probation.
Well, I need to talk to Exhibit B. Becky, do you mind approaching the microphone?
No problem.
All right, so totally speak clearly so we can get this actually transcribed as well.
I would like to go under the table right now.
Not now. Y'all wait till you get home for that.
So, Becky, your lawyer, Marvin, has come forth saying that you are willing to enter into a relationship with one James Fache sitting next to you. Is this to be understood correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yay!
I do have to ask some questions. One, were you promised anything threatened to enter into this agreement?
A large sum of money.
Okay, see?
Objection, Your Honor.
The court can't honor that.
Objection, Your Honor.
Okay.
That particular piece of evidence was gotten under duress. There was no warrant filed. She has no paper trail, no proof that any money was offered to exchange hands, even though we know Jimmy's track record, and it probably was. But... no evidence. The court cannot acknowledge this.
All right. So I will ask you once again the same question now that your lawyer has advised you where to answer this. At any time, were you threatened or promised anything to enter into this relationship?
No, sir.
Do you understand by acknowledging this, you are waiving your right down the road to say you were coerced into a relationship with the one James Fache?
Yes.
All right. I believe at this time the court can put on record that one James Fache is off relationship probation.
Yes.
We wish him the best of luck. We will check in periodically as the court will. 6 months, we're going to put on the court record. We'll check back in and see how these people are doing. Actually, 3 months. Let's go 3 months. That's a good shit or get off the pot mark. And 3 months we will check in to see how everything's going. So congratulations, and now get out of my court.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you. Jimmy, you'll get my bill.
Oh, damn. Now, I think why it's so successful, Jimmy, if I may say so, is that you took her to a boxing match for your first
date.
Yes,
our first date was a undercard event. It was a boxing event.
Is now a bad time to tell her that was all a ruse? We set that whole thing up. Like, that was not a real thing.
All those people were paid actors.
Yeah,
right.
Every single one of them.
Right.
All 5,000.
She also does Krav Maga.
All right.
Yeah.
It is Israeli.
Who's this guy? Oh! I was like, damn, we have new evidence.
Yeah. Becky, how long have you done Krav Maga?
Just a couple months.
Okay. You like it?
So I could probably still kick your ass?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think
so. Where do you do it at? I did Krav Maga when I lived in Port Huron.
I had sidekicks in St. Clair Shores.
Okay.
This Krav Maga guy sounds popular.
Right? He sure does. He really gets around.
He gets around.
Wow.
I did Krav Maga too.
It's true.
For people that don't know, it's the Israel self-defense. Very violent. A lot of eye pokes. It's about disarming situations, real life situations. A lot of reasons why you don't see a Krav Maga tournament is that it's so violent you actually don't
Well,
do
it's
it.
One of those, right? Like when you watch it, like you go, there's no, like, you, how is there style and like rules to that, you know? Because
there is no
rules.
Well, but I mean, like, there's still technique and, you know what I mean? That's what I meant, like technique and stuff. But yeah, it's just like, oh, God, they're just bloodying each other. That's.
They do have. It's not really tournaments, but they have like conventions almost every once in a while.
Yeah,
like
two men go in, one comes out.
I mean,
it's called Thunderdome. We've all seen it.
Welcome to the Thunderdome. So what drew you to Jimmy? This is
that what Jimmy called? Do you call the bedroom Thunderdome, Jimmy? Is that
Welcome to Thunderdome?
What, two go in, one comes out. Probably both are crying.
Awesome. Thanks, Marv.
Never a sequel.
I appreciate it.
Never a sequel He's worth seeing.
Way to be a pal. Right.
Hey, you were warned.
I know.
Did you just meet me?
Yeah, I know. I'll let you answer.
She's like, he's left crying.
Right up into the mic, dear.
No, no, no. What Brad asked you.
Oh, not my question.
No. What Brad asked you, not your question.
What drew you to one James Fichet?
He had a very friendly and nice face. And
okay.
I was tired of the a-holes. So I thought, oh. True story.
But then once you met him, you were like, well, I'm committed now. Another a-hole.
So far, he's proven to be.
Very cool. Did you Jimmy? Go to his? Did you go to his
this
play?
Jimmy?
Yes, I did.
She did.
What'd you think?
Oh, it was great.
He
I
did
was,
good
I
too.
I was a little freaked out before I came on because I was scared that he would really suck and that would be awkward.
Did you bring him flowers like you would someone at a recital?
No, I brought him.
What if he really sucks? She just said that the whole time. I hope he doesn't suck. God, it's a good thing you didn't suck, Jimmy.
It's a good thing I didn't
suck. Like, you could have just been having, like, an off day, and then, yeah. Like, just the ripple effect, right?
I know.
Just boom, 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 boom. This bit wouldn't have worked that Brad and I had planned. Like, the show would have sucked, right? Oh, God.
Yeah, she got me the – because I have the first – this guy wrote a book, Star Wars for Shakespeare. It's Shakespearean,
yeah.
Star Wars.
I have
the first one, and she bought me the other two.
Ah, okay.
So I got Empire and Jedi now as well.
I have the three of them.
So, the best way to get to a man's heart is through Star Wars.
I said, and that's the thing is, she met my family, my parents, and one of my brothers, because they came to play the same night. And my mom had texted me today. She's like, so what did she get you? Because she saw the little bag or whatever. I said, she got me the two Star Wars Shakespeare books. She knows me so well.
Well, so this is 3, 4, 5 weeks. Where are we at? 6 weeks, 7? I don't even remember. We go to so many boxing events.
I spent 5 weeks, I think.
Oh, yeah. You should know
guys
that.
I don't name. Even know.
You should know that.
Well, no, I mean, I was trying to think because it was every Saturday for a while, but we've gotten to see each other, you know, this past weekend and like last night and stuff like that, too. So I think it's been about five weeks.
Becky, yep. Have you listened to the previous podcast with Jimmy?
One of my employees went back and listened to listen to everything and then get me the pertinent information. About
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Who is also now one of our super like fans. Her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
very
she was
cool.
A super fan of the show.
I think she's live tweeting.
I think she – I actually have seen quite a few live tweets
that's
come
awesome.
Through. Yeah. No, like – so I met her friend, Seraphine, and I met her at a party, and she was like – she told – you know, Becky told me afterwards. She said, Seraphine's like, I was like starstruck when I met Jimmy. Like – apparently, we're really huge to her, so yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hi, Seraphine. Your name is like a mermaid.
That's a very pretty name.
Mermaid name.
Becky, when were you born?
February 23rd.
No, a year.
77.
77, all right.
Oh, yeah.
77
years. Yeah. My godson was born the 23rd.
Did you say February 23rd?
Yes.
So you just had a birthday.
I did.
Happy mm-hmm. birthday.
That was the
happy
party.
Birthday.
Yeah. That was the party where I met Seraphine.
It's everybody's yeah. birthday today.
I know.
So what happened was to keep myself entertained back at the old studio, I decided that we were coming up on episode 80, and I thought the 80s were cool, probably because I was a kid and everything was just like new, you know, arcade games had come out, everything had come out, Becky. So we started like celebrating like the 80s, like the episode 80, we covered 1980,
mm-hmm.
episode 81,
1981, what yep. happened, and yep.
all the way to 89.
Yeah.
And when we got done with it, we thought about continuing it, but then it was just like, you know what, let's just keep it a tradition when we come
I
back
couldn't
to 180.
Keep up with the fashion.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, the money going out on fashion trends were like unbelievable. So then we had, like a very elaborate shows where we'd go into it, but I thought we'd touch a little base again on what happened in 1980. I mean, there was an election back then.
There was, yeah.
Who was
it was Ronald Reagan won.
Okay.
Who did he beat?
Jimmy Carter.
Oh, okay.
And
Reagan smash.
But you remember there was Reagan Democrats. There was people mad
yeah.
at Jimmy Carter and they were Reagan Democrats.
Yeah.
But also with 1980, technology was pretty cool. You know what? Actually, I'm going to take a second here. Have you seen Steve Jobs, the movie?
Not yet.
Amazing
wait,
movie.
Which version?
Not the Ashton Kutcher
one.
Yeah,
the new one. The one with Michael Fassbender.
The real one.
Yeah, the amazing one.
Okay.
Okay, you got to go see it. All right. Steve Jobs. Everybody that's in it, even the girl that kicked Leonardo DiCaprio off the raft and made him drown in Titanic. She's even good in it.
She's my hero. Winslet. She's my hero.
She's really good at it. So go check that movie out because it's kind of cool because Apple was kind of in a transition period in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was neat to see that stuff, what was going on in the 80s. Remember, there was a time when Apple wasn't as cool as it was now.
Not cool now. Sorry.
Uh-oh. Marv, you want
to – Sorry, Marv.
Commercial break is where Marv beats his butt.
Well, here's the thing. You can talk to people like Jimmy till you're blue in the face, but when it comes right down to it, they're like Trump supporters.
Do not lump me with those people.
Well, then stop saying stupid things. They just spout out uninformed garbage.
It's not uninformed.
That they have seen on the internet.
No, it's not uninformed.
And maybe picked up on Reddit something like that.
I don't even read Reddit.
But I put very little stock into that.
Okay. Anyways, we were talking about the 80s.
Yeah, so back then, it's kind of weird how things come back. The relationship with Russia was not good, or at the time they were USSR, in which Jimmy Carter announced the United States would boycott the 1980 Summer Olympics in Moscow. He announced that in March 21st of that year. And now here we are again, and now it's Russia, not USSR. But relationships, once again, are not good over there. A little minor Cold War starting here again. So that happened.
I would say it's a warm war, really.
Yeah, it's like a loop. You believe it's kind of like a cool breeze. It's kind of like a cool breeze.
You know
war.
What, though? Part of me is a little nostalgic for it. You know, back in the 80s, we had an enemy.
We did.
You know? Yeah,
it was the Ruskies.
I'm tired of not having an enemy.
Well, we have plenty of enemies.
No, I'm saying like an enemy.
No, I know,
point
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Say, them.
On the map.
You know?
May 22nd, the
Firesy missiles.
Best-selling arcade game of all time is released in Japan, and that is Pac-Man. So that was May 22nd of 1980. Miss Pac-Man, to me, is still the greatest game out there. If I see it anywhere, I have to play it.
It was actually at a restaurant we were at over the weekend, and you, like, just walked on by.
I did not see it because I always give Miss Pac-Man love. Always give love to Miss
Pac-Man. She felt the cold shoulder.
No, I always keep her warm at night. Me and Miss Pac-Man. honestly, God.
We know why Marv likes Miss Pac-Man.
She swallows.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't argue that.
Brad said that, not Marv.
Yeah, so. I know.
Yeah, but we'll I just agree. He said it. I agree with it.
October 21st of 1980, the Philadelphia Phillies beat the Kansas City Royals of the American League 4-1 in Game 6.
Is that in some kind of sports ball competition?
Yes, that's where they have this ball that can really hurt because it's thrown by pitchers at like 100 miles per hour. And you got to stand in the back. You know
I'm from Detroit. We don't see those things.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Burn!
Oh, boy.
Okay, continue.
So anyways, that actually happened. And as I scroll down, I mean, 1980 isn't actually a good kickoff year because not a lot had happened, but I mean, you know, it's the start. But John Lennon was shot dead outside his apartment in New York City by Mark David Chapman. This happened December 8th. Yep.
I'm just saying, Kanye West fans, step up your game.
So harsh, dude. So harsh.
That's not mine. That was a meme, but I agree with it.
I know exactly where you've seen it. Yes. Yep.
I'm going to say that one of the best movies of all time came out that year.
Which is?
Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. That is also true.
Okay, true.
Yep.
November 21st, a then record number of viewers for entertainment program tuned in to the U.S. soap opera Dallas to learn who shot J.R. I don't think anyone still knows the answer to that, though. Who did shoot J.R.?
Oh, wait. It was – yeah, they answered that.
Well, no. Don't Google it. Who shot J.R.?
Whoever was on the grassy knoll.
No.
Who shot J.R. on Dallas? For such a big thing.
Wasn't All a Dream.
No. That was the son There was the other
Bobby dream. Ewing or something.
Yeah, that was All a Dream.
Run over or something. That whole season was a dream.
No, the whole show was a dream.
It was a whole season.
Oh, I was told it was a whole show.
Because he was leaving the show.
Right.
But then, like, after a season, he was like, yeah, I kind of want to come back.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, sure. The whole show that was a dream was Newhart.
Yeah, Newhart. Right.
As well as St. Elsewhere.
Okay.
St. Elsewhere was all a dream in a young boy's mind.
Well, you Google it really quick.
Yeah.
1980 brought us the birth of, and trust me, Tiger Woods probably hoped this didn't happen. His ex-wife, Ellen Nordegren, the Swedish model who attacked him with the golf clubs after she knew the affairs and he ran into his own tree in Orlando. She was born. Zoe Deschanel or Deschanel.
Yeah.
She was born in 1980. So
awesome.
Albert Pujols. That's how you know you're getting old, by the way, really. When people that are playing sports are younger than you. When you're a kid, you grow up and, like, Steve Yzerman was always older than me.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, it's always, like, your heroes and stuff like that. But when the athletes that are playing are younger than you, then you're like, oh, freak, I'm old. You know, it just feels old.
That was your first clue?
No. I mean, I'm thinking on the show, bitch.
Apparently, Kristen, who is JR's scheming sister-in-law and mistress, shot him in a fit of anger.
Well, thank goodness. I will sleep so much better.
I know.
1980 also brought Nick Carter, the American pop singer from Backstreet
God
Boys,
bless.
Was born
yes.
that year.
Nick Carter fans, step up your game.
Did you guys watch that horrible TV show with his family?
Ugh.
Awful. I did not. What is this show?
There was a show called The Carters or something.
You're thinking of Give Me a Break with Nell Carter.
No.
Also in the 80s.
Siblings and
Randy Orton, WWE superstar, was born. My favorite little thing on the internet is where he goes around and takes people out.
That's the RKO or whatever. Yeah.
Channum Tatum was actually born in 1980.
I don't think he's that attractive. I think his wife is more attractive than he is.
Who's his wife?
Jenna. She plays
Jenna DeWan.
Like, Step Up with him.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they were in Step Up.
She was
the female lead.
Yes.
She's gorgeous.
Jessica Simpson was born in 1980.
She's not that important.
Yeah, not that important. Totally not that relevant. Smart either. Macaulay Culkin was born in 1980. Make everybody feel old. Chris Pine was actually born in 1980.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Man, even the heartthrobs are younger than us out there.
That's not surprising.
It's funny, some people that they list as celebrities that aren't. A sad note, though, in 1980, Kim Kardashian was born in 1980. That was actually one of the worst things to probably happen. Ryan Gosling was born in 1980.
Hey, girl.
Nick Swisher, also a baseball star, was there. Let's see, as we go through really quick here to see Jesse Owens. No, he actually.
I was like, Jesse Owens? How was he born in 1980 and beat the Nazis in 1936?
Well, Doc had a time machine.
Oh, is that?
That's true, yeah.
Jesse Owens, he ran so fast he went back in time.
Jesse Owens
He's the
had
Flash.
Died. And then Alfred Hitchcock had died. But we're at the 8 o'clock hour. Yep. It's time for What's on Tap. Here you go, Jimmy.
All right. This is, once again, What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to start off with MMA, March 11th, Invicta FC 16, Hamansky versus Brown at Trinidad Pavilion in the Tropicana, Las Vegas, Nevada. On March 11th, we also have Square Ring Promotions, Island Fights 37, Pensacola Bay, Pensacola, Florida. March 12th, we have Prestige FC 2, Queen City Coronation, Orr Center, Regina in Canada. March 12th again, we have Seoul FC to be announced. It's going to be in Poland. March 12th, we also have Spartan Fight 2, also to be announced in Poland. We also have World Series of Fighter 29, Genthy versus Foster, Bank of Colorado Arena, Greeley, Colorado. We have on March 12th, BA 9, and the SDS Hall in Poland. March 12th, we have NP Fight, Brazil versus Chile, Rio Vermelho Gymnasium in Brazil. We have Slugfest 6 in Poland. We have BFL 42 in British Columbia, Canada. Immortal FC 3
We have in the Jose Bovava Municipal Sports Gymnasium in Sao Paulo, Brazil, March 12th. TOM2 Real Force in Poland, March 12th. SWG10, Second Primary School Hall in Poland, March 12th. KOTC Extreme Horsepower, Seneca Niagara Resort and Casino, Niagara Falls, New York, New York. And on March 13th, Pancrease 270 in Tokyo, Japan. Moving on to boxing, March 11th, we have at Mexico City on Telemundo, Carlos Ruiz versus Joel Montes de Oca, 10 rounds for the junior lightweights. On March 12th in Montreal, Fox, we have David Lemieux versus James De La Rosa, 10 rounds super middleweights. At Merida, Mexico, we have Miguel Berchelt versus Jorge Yup, 12 rounds for the vacant WBO interim junior lightweight title. Burbank, California, Unimas, we have Casey Ramos versus Jonathan Perez, 10 rounds for the lightweights. Las Vegas, CBS Sportsnet, we have Zab Judah versus Josh Torres, 10 rounds junior welterweights. Liverpool, England, Terry Flanagan versus Derry Matthews. Rematch, 12 rounds for Flanagan's WBO lightweight title. And Brandenburg, Germany, Jürgen Brahimer versus Jedward Gutnick. Rematch, 12 rounds for the for Brahimer's WBA regular lightweight heavyweight title. And at Lavios, France, Cedric Vitu versus Ruben Varon, 12 rounds for Vitu's European junior middleweight title. And at Navarra, Estonia, Vladimir Tinkonov versus Nikolos Kokashilvi, 8 rounds for the junior featherweights. And that's, again, What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company.
All right, we're going to go to a little bit of a break. We're going to be back on the other side. We're going to have Troy Lamson, and then we're going to celebrate a couple birthdays in the house. All right.
Whoop, whoop.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Oh, we're on.
All right, welcome back to The Undercard. We had to come out of the break really quick because we have a lot of candles. We have actually 21 candles lit for Liz.
I can't videotape it.
Liz doesn't think this is a big birthday.
Oh, don't put it down there. Down by the end.
But 21st is a big, big. So happy
birthday. We can't say that. So happy birthday. Wait, what is the?
Happy birthday, Liz.
Happy birthday. May all your dreams come true. happy birthday from the undercard to you. Do we have a birthday here?
Yes, we have a birthday here.
Birthday where?
Birthday here.
You guys suck. Happy birthday from undercard to you. Hey.
Good job. Happy 21st birthday.
Get it out of here.
One more. There we go. All right. Are you okay?
No. Dying.
Our plan is working.
And then happy birthday to Emily. We didn't have a show last week, but happy birthday, Emily.
Thank you.
It's from all of us.
We'll make it up to you. Becky, happy birthday. We had no idea.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, we're going to be calling Troy Lamson now, right? What? It's time.
Happy birthday, Liz.
Happy birthday, Liz. Hopefully we get good video of that fire inferno going.
Oh, my God. I was like, I had to bring this up. It's going to, like, burn down the studio.
Liz, my dad called me on the break, and he said, I don't know who picked the music tonight, but they did a very good job. So you get Pop's approval.
Very cool.
Troy!
Boys mail.
Hello.
Hey, Troy. This is Brad. You're live on the undercard. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well.
All right. No problem. We are joined by Troy Lamson. He was supposed to be on last week, but due to us not having a show last week, we weren't. But we scheduled him again. Troy Lamson is an undefeated MMA fighter out of Michigan. Welcome to the undercard. Let's start off by going over what happened with Brandon McLaughlin first. And we'll talk about your upcoming fight after that. First off, what a great fight against Brandon you had. It was my fight of the night until Adrian's main event. Tell us a little bit about that fight. Your thoughts? Was Brandon a tough opponent? You win by submission in the last round. Tell us what was going through your mind.
You know, I give Brandon a lot of credit. He was a lot tougher than I had anticipated. But overall, it was just another day in the office. You know, sometimes you get the pretty wins, sometimes you get the tough wins. And this one happened to go into the third round. You know, I got into a little bit of risky business in the second when he took my back. But, I mean, I just stayed calm like I usually do. And I just dominated. I went in there and I made it six straight and all finishes. And, you know, sometimes and there was a couple things I noticed and I need to tweak within my game and within my training. And that will be a point or two. So it was an overall big win, and I needed a nice little push like that to get me ready for the fights that are going to be coming up.
Now let's talk about two key factors to you winning the fight. The first one, your ability to defend the rear naked choke. Brandon, as you said, had your back. I counted it twice. Maybe you only counted it once, but it looked like you were in a predicament twice, but you were able to get out of it calmly. Not only able to get out of it calmly, you weren't in that situation long. Is defending rear naked chokes and submissions something you work on, or just everything aligned right that fight?
You know, we definitely drill drills like that. Dealing with such a high-level team like Mercy Lago that I'm a part of. We drill worst-case scenario drills all the time. But, I mean, with myself being a Division I wrestler and have been doing stuff like this for a lot of years now, even though I'm just in my early 20s, I think that I'm comfortable on the mat no matter where I'm at. I think I've been mixing jiu-jitsu and wrestling so well for the past 5 to 6 years that I'm comfortable almost in any position down there. And I mean, sometimes you're going to get tapped, but, you know, I think that the times that that's going to happen with me is going to be slim to none because I feel pretty confident on the ground.
The other key that I had is your ability when you had him on his back and you were above him, your elbows were just vicious and just kept finding. Did you think you would be able to throw that many elbows to him while he was on the mat?
Oh yeah, that's definitely my style on top. You know, position before submission, and I like to throw some missiles from the elbows. I like to, you know, try to mimic some of my thing off of Tito Ortiz, big power shots and do damage, cut the opponent. Because when people see their own blood, they back down. So it's always part of the game plan to just do damage is the most important thing.
Now, let's talk about the submission that you win with. You talk about position before submission, and how you win is prime example of that. You were working on it. I don't know why I had it in my notes, but I didn't bring my notes. You started working that submission very mid-round. You didn't panic. It wasn't going to the scorecards. Tell us how you set up the win.
You know, I got a lot of different tools on the shed when it comes to submissions. Especially when I get to a front headlock, I can switch between submissions fairly easy. And I think I put people in angles and in positions that they're not used to being in. And unless you train with me regularly, I think that it puts any fighter in a dangerous position, or as Brandon would like to say, deep water. But it always works out in my favor when I'm on top. I'm usually able to control the position. And that's one of my better positions, I think, in an overall fight.
Now, I do got to say this before we move on to talk about your next fight, because you were quick to schedule the next fight. You weren't damaged from the Brandon fight, and that's the way to do it. Next opponent, keep moving. But the ring girls that are in here are huge fans of yours. They're giggling and everything, which goes with the pretty boy moniker that you have. Obviously a good-looking fighter. You got quite the female following.
Huge
so I wanted to see if you would give Liz a happy birthday because she's a huge fan of yours. So if you don't mind doing that, Troy, I'd appreciate.
Oh, if only she could see me now. But yeah, Liz,
have
a happy birthday.
Do you want our Snapchat? We have an Undergirl Snapchat.
Well, yeah. Let's be honest. All you really have to do is look over this way, Liz, and I'm pretty much the spit. Hey.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, oh, it's getting
deep. No, but your
in
girlfriend,
here.
She's a sweetheart.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, I know. I'm a very lucky man.
Oh, very cool. So who gave you the pretty boy moniker? Was it something you came up with or nickname, or did someone give it to you?
No, this goes back to my junior year when I had just switched schools to a school in Swan Valley. My assistant wrestling coach, who I was living with at the time, we were on a road trip to Colorado. He nicknamed it was before one of my first amateur fights as a junior in high school. And he gave me the pretty boy because I used to rock the Justin Bieber swoosh over. And it just fit. And I went out there looking extra tan with the Beaver swoosh coming out the pretty boy swag from Soldier Boy, and it just all happened to fall together beautifully.
Now you talked about your training team. Who trains you in jiu-jitsu? Who's training you in wrestling? And then who's doing your stand-up with you? Give a shout-out to your coaches.
You know, when it comes to my stand-up and my overall training progress, it's Joaquin Morton. Rodriguez over at Mercy Lago, the head coach. He does beautiful things with us. I got to give a shout out to all my my training partners, like Daquan Townsend, the heavy hitter. We got John White. We just have such a deep roster over there with so much talent. And I'm in the gym every day, so I, you know, whoever is there always gets to work with me, and it just becomes a philosophy of fighters just trying to become the best athletes that they can. And it's a great group of guys to be a part of.
Now, this is the first time, at least, that I remember seeing you live fight. If I had seen it, I don't remember. But for this fight, I paid a closer attention to you. Very relaxed the day before at weigh-ins. Very relaxed before the fight. Probably the most relaxed fighter I've seen in quite some time. Is that just the way it is for you? No nerves? Or is it something you're able to brush off?
No, I mean, there's definitely nerves, but, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, I'm only 24, but I've been through almost like 24 cage fights now. I've been competing highly in the wrestling community, you know, since my early sophomore days in high school, wrestling at big tournaments. I wrestled in the Big Ten University Conference, you know, in Division I wrestling. You know, I've been in big stages, and I've had to deal with that multiple times in one day. You know, the kind of way. And now that I'm actually starting to, you know, see some light at the end of the tunnel, man, it's just, for me to be able to do that is just a blessing in itself. And you know, I like to soak in every minute of it. And, you know, when it hits five fights for me, you know, there's definitely a demon that comes out, but it stays away pretty much most of the time out wise. And I get to put a smile on, and I get to go meet a whole bunch of new faces.
I forget who wrote the article, but somebody put on an article, the five faces that we have the most likelihood of making the UFC from Michigan. You made the list. Cody Stamann made the list. How good does it feel to make a list like that? And how do you know if you're on their radar yet? Have they even contacted you, or do you got people reaching out to them and seeing where you're at in your career?
Yeah, with my managerial ties to Rashad Evans, who was put in to the UFC directly from Mercy Lago, and with Joaquin and them being combined together in my corner, with also me, you know, I have gone out to Extreme Couture in Las Vegas and down to the Black Italians in Florida to get my training in. I have a lot of different options of people telling me, you know, what should I be looking at, you know, and what the time schedule can be for me to make it to the big show. And it's looking well, man. It comes down to, you got to win every fight that's thrown at you, and now the opponents are going to start getting tougher. And you know, I'm hopefully looking at, you know, one to two to three fights, and then the big show is going to be calling. But I mean, it's one fight at a time, and I'm definitely looking to be able to step outside my front door and have it look a lot different than it is now. So, you know, I'm just waiting, and I'm here to take every opportunity that is thrown at me.
Now, having never lost in amateurs and being 6-0 as a pro, and like you said, not seeing a decision yet, you've won by four submissions, two technical knockouts. As you stay undefeated and stuff like that, you talk about taking steps up in your career. You're fighting May 14th at TWC. What is Mercy Lago teaching you to keep you focused? Because a lot of times in MMA, people are bouncing back of losses or trying to keep a fight streak. But here you've been on a fight streak since you've been in MMA. So how do you mentally focus on stuff like that?
It's just something that I wake up with every morning, and it's just something that I've always kept myself to do. And I carry myself a certain way because I believe that what I'm doing is something special. It's been like that for a long time, and it's just something that I've embodied, and it's just something that's going to be with me for the rest of my life. So it's not really how do I prepare for it. It's just an expectation that I have for myself. And, you know, I'm not in this just to do it. I want to be the best. I want to be the star player. So, I mean, it has to be taken care of like a professional. And, you know, if you can add some flair in there, then that's beautiful. And I'm happy with how it's all going.
Very good. Let's talk about May 14th. How'd that come about? Did PD talk to your manager, or May 14th is for the TWC World Lightweight title? How did that come about? Was there a few opponents out there that they were talking about, or was there something that, hey, I'm going to be fighting for the TWC World Lightweight title?
No, Justin James has been running his ugly mouth for the last 6 to 8 months. I've been having to listen to him, and I've had other opportunities to fight, and, you know, they just made more sense. And I took those, and I took care of their opponents, and the times were right to sign the contract. And no, the main reason why this fight is happening is because he's been running his mouth and trying to fight me, and now I'm going to step up and I'm going to beat him down.
Now let's talk about Justin James really quickly. What part of his games maybe worry you, or is there anything strengths that you're anxious to test yourself out in the cage against?
You know, his wrestling is something that I've seen before. You know, I still wrestle with a lot of my collegiate buddies up here at Michigan State. And, you know, he's a shorter guy. I'm a taller fighter. I like that. And, you know, I'm going to use the obvious advantages to my corner. But in the long run, he's a lot similar fighter to what I'm going to see. You know, he's a shorter, boxier wrestler, power puncher, and he's going to come with heavy leg kicks. And I'm fully aware of what's going to be going down. So I will train accordingly. And I'm just excited to, I'm excited to get my first professional gold strap that's not going to hang on my bedroom wall. It's going to come around me in my car every day. That's going to be pretty cool. So believe me when I tell you I'm ready to get some hardware in the professional side of the category. So that's going to be exciting. I'm excited to be the main event. So when you Google the fight, it's going to say Lamson versus James, which is going to be pretty sick, and it's going to be the one of many. So it's just a good look all around, and I'm excited to hop back in the cage. I'm feeling great. I've been training since the last fight, and everything's come a full circle. And to come off to be able to fight a 9-3 guy like Justin, and for him to be, you know, talking so much shit, that it's just like I'm glad that I want to get in there and not only, I guess, beat down a potato chip from Las Vegas, so say, but I'm just excited with how it's all going to work out.
Can I ask, because we were wondering, actually, at the TXC, like, where can we get your cool shirts?
I'm actually going to be having those coming out, hopefully, like, a month or so before my next fight, but I'll definitely have them at the next fight.
All right, you better text me when they come out so we can all get some and wear them.
By all them, they mean the ring girls who are still drooling. We had to turn off the mics because they're heavily breathing. You know, they can't see you through the microphone.
Like, but is he calling? Like, no. Is he coming in? Is he calling? He's just calling in, girls.
Like the old 900 numbers in the 80s.
Say, good thing that I didn't come in the studio.
Well, yeah. If you came into the studio,
you the bodyguards.
Yeah. If you come into studio ever, you have to give me advance notice so I can get paramedics to revive you. Yeah. Legally, I have to have paramedics here.
They seriously about flood their basements. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Troy, we want to wish you the best of luck May 14th. I'm going to let you say goodbye to Rochelle, Sarah, and Liz really quickly. And thank you so much for joining the undercard. But say goodbye to them because they'll make their night.
Yeah, bye, Liz. Hey, you girls take care to the next show. Happy birthday. Don't do nothing too dangerous.
And could really quick, just so they can hear, could you like kiss one of your muscles or something?
Oh my god, Marissa.
Just like give him a quick ticket to the gun show.
Thank you so much for joining us, Troy. You take care.
Hey, tell the ring girl. Tell the ring girl that he'll have a Snapchat coming.
Oh, Snapchat coming from Troy Lamb. That's awesome.
I
have never seen Sarah so excited before.
I think she just passed out. She lost consciousness for a second.
Take care, Troy, and we'll talk to you soon. That's Troy Lampson.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
He is fighting May 14th, Lansing, Michigan. It is TWC.
On a real note, pull up the Snapchat.
You'll be seeing him in UFC really soon. We're going to go to our last commercial break.
Oh, God.
Let these ring girls read.
Calm down.
Try out.
Come back to the altitude they started the show at, and we will be back in a few minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard. We are eating cake now. We are celebrating Liz's 21st birthday.
I need another piece.
It was Emily's birthday last week, and so I started thinking,
this is how good my girl is. She's sitting here drinking water on her 21st birthday.
I know.
Well, it's just because she's pre-hydrating.
I don't really like alcohol that much anyways.
Unless there's a liquor company later that wants to sponsor.
No, I definitely will.
How would you know
like
what liquor tastes
days,
like, Liz? Yeah. You weren't 21 before now.
How would you know?
Breakfast. Everyone does a little
breakfast
stuff.
Liquor?
I'm
just kidding. My dad got me up
alcoholic
at 7
much?
My dad got me up at 7 o'clock this morning to start taking shots with me. I'm like, Dad,
that's
what we were talking about.
That is parenting done correctly.
But I wanted to go around the room and see what everybody did for their 21st, because even if you're not a big drinking, it's a monumental birthday. Everyone can remember exactly where they were. I'll start off. I had my first beer ever at Tiger Stadium. I remember that I went up to the place, the little stand. And here you are waiting for this one moment where they ask you for your ID and you produce it. And I go, hey, I want a beer. And she doesn't check for ID, hands me the beer. That's my first beer. And it was kind of defeating because you're waiting for someone to ask you that first time. But it wasn't a wild or crazy night. I had a couple of beers. And then my cousin, Angie, was really cool. She put our names on the scoreboard at Tiger Stadium and didn't tell us that was going to happen, but – you know, we sat in the seats and all of a sudden we saw our name scroll on the Tiger Stadium. So that was my 21st birthday. Nothing wild and crazy. I made up for it the next 7 or 8 days in a row. But the actual 21st birthday, not much. What about you, Murph?
My 21st birthday, you probably won't believe me, but I didn't party. I didn't go out. She was my girlfriend at the time. But my now wife and I were actually working an event at the Detroit Botanical Gardens. It was this thing we did every year.
Party.
Where we got paid. Seriously, we got like – we went there and we got paid like $50 to just like welcome people, like, you know, tell them where the bar was and like whatever. And so we were there doing that for my 21st birthday. And when I did go back to get some food and something to drink, the bartender found out that it was my 21st birthday and then started pouring me really heavy drinks. But so I got a little tipsy and then we went home and
you bring up a good
that was it. Like
you bring up a good point. For a guy turning 21, it's the only time you'll ever be in a bar and feel like a hot girl.
Right?
That is the time everyone will buy you a drink
absolutely,
for your 21st birthday. No matter your 35th birthday, 5 or 6 people in the bar might buy you one. But your 21st, big time.
The only other time they will is if you get divorced.
I disagree with you. There's 3 other times that if you're a guy, people will buy you rounds of shots. Your 21st birthday, when you get married or when you're at a bachelor party, when you get divorced – and if you are in the military and either going to or coming home from a deployment.
I would say if I find out you're military and whether you're going to, like if you're in the bar and I find out you're military, I'm buying you.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, but when you go out or whatever, everybody wants to buy your shot.
See, I would actually also, there are some people who get drinks bought for them just by virtue of their personality. I often get drinks bought for me at places just because I'm
jovial.
I'm jovial is a good word. Obnoxious is another word.
I was going to say to get you to shut up.
But
I was going to say so drinks like, thrown at you and drinks bought for you are different things. I'm just clarifying.
I don't, it goes I don't in his believe mouth. They are. I believe if I catch it and drink it, the drink was bought for me.
All right.
But yeah, so like well, the buddy that I never actually told the story, but the buddy that almost got me killed at Sochimilco's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he and I would go out, we would always have a great time. And it usually worked out that, like, we would pay for, like, the first one or two drinks. And then after that, people would just send them to us because okay, they're like, right. Oh, you guys are, you know.
Right.
Even the owners and the bartenders would just be like, you know, you're keeping people happy and, like, right. Here, have some drinks. So we would usually get free drinks that way.
I just realized the restaurant you're referring to is the restaurant I call Sochimigos. Who's right or who's wrong?
What? Sochimilco's?
Is that in Mexican town?
Sochimilco's.
Sochimigos.
Well, there's an L in there.
But it starts with an X, right? It's the same one on the corner.
Yeah.
Who's right?
Sochimigos.
Sochimigos.
You're saying Sochimigos, which is not even close.
Sochimigos.
I think here's the problem. I'm pronouncing it the Mexican way, and you're pronouncing it like the Guatemalan or Puerto Rican Mexican way. As Brad is often did that just happen? Is everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not having a stroke.
We're back okay. In stereo.
All right.
Don't nope. Sarah bumped into some.
Okay. I know she did, but I don't know what.
I think Sarah just ruined everything.
We're fine. We're fine on the feed.
We're good. Okay, all right. We're back. Well,
okay. This is going to cause me to have a stroke, okay? Or some kind of epileptic fit.
Be careful getting up and down.
What did you have over here?
Good radio.
It's funny because Barnes just said to me at our last show that he bothered to show up.
Yeah, they're sparring and working out right
whatever.
Now.
Whatever. He told me that he was worried that he was going to like end a show because he always sits like at that corner. And, like, all the plugs are right there, and he's so afraid he's going to, like, kick the power strip and just, like, knock everything out.
That would not be good. Really quickly, Rochelle, what did you do for your 21st birthday?
I went to Outback with my boyfriend at the time. That's it.
Did you drink?
I think I might have had a strawberry daiquiri.
Did you have a Bloomin' Onion?
Hell no. Cheese fries. Extra ranch, no whatever. Bacon.
Wow, nothing's whatever. Changed.
Did you have
no nope. Extra ranch.
Extra ranch, yeah.
Mm. How about you, Emily? 21st birthday?
Man, my voice has gone from celebrating my 33rd birthday last night. My 21st birthday, I started at Western and woke up at Michigan State.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow. It was really confusing.
She made up for all of ours.
I did.
There are like murder stories that start that way.
I know my friend Liz was transportation and there was a garbage bag in the car. I had too much fun.
So, wow. Really quickly, and we're going to go around the stories, but did you try to do the 21 shots in 21? Did anybody's friends
do you remember
make them try
anything?
To do that?
I remember getting to a fraternity house because I was in a sorority at the time, and then a bunch of my friends just being like, this is not going to end well. I think I bonged, beer bonged, vanilla stoli.
Wow. No wonder you don't fun. Remember the night.
No, it was, yeah, irresponsible.
Wow.
But it was fun.
How about you, Becky? Because I know you're born in 77, so you're not under 21. What'd you do for your 21st birthday?
Not much, because I drank too much the weekend before, and I was still too sick to drink.
Really? You ruined it? Yes. Oh, no. You were still hungover?
Yeah, just the thought of doing any shots or liquor of any kind. You want to throw up.
Oh, no. So the weekend before, were you celebrating your 21st birthday with some friends that would be out of town, or what was going on the weekend before?
We actually used to go to Hamtramck a lot, and the owner of the bar always served us. So I did go up there my 21st birthday because he was known to be a huge pervert. So I walked up to him and said, hey, I want to show you something I've never shown you before. And he's like, what's that? And then I showed him my ID.
I like her.
Yeah. Like, you just
Jimmy has a similar story, does not end the same.
Jimmy,
shut
your 21st?
Up. We said we were going to talk about that, Marv.
It's a matter of public record if she wants to search for it.
Jimmy, your 21st?
All right.
He looked over 16 to me, too, Jimmy.
My 21st... it started off with my family. We had my cousins over, and they were pouring me drinks all night. And then my friends took me out to the bar afterwards. I don't think I did the 21 shot thing, but I know I got up into the like probably upper teens that night. So, yeah, it was, and I don't remember anything from, for the next like 2 days, but I do have, my brother, the one that's, 4 years younger than me. He tried to do the 21 shot thing on his 21st birthday. He had to work the next day.
Oh.
So hold on. So he comes home and I hear this story told like all the time. He comes home and, he goes to the bathroom upstairs, my parents' house, passes out, cracks his head open on the sink. Doesn't want to wake anybody up, but he knows that he's got to get up for work in the morning. Goes downstairs in the living room, puts a towel down, sits in the chair, and like basically like hangs over like this so that the blood is dripping onto the towel, and then just sits in the chair, passes out. This was at like 3 in the morning. 7 in the morning, there's a knock on the door. He goes to work with blood still like all caked over his face and his hair, and they were like, "What happened to you?" He's like, "I don't remember."
Oh God!
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So that's a decent story.
Yeah.
We got it. It's better than working in the botanical garden. Yeah. So no one had a crazy story except Becky. Emily's
yeah.
Emily passed out at Western and woke up at Michigan State. I think that wins. Actually.
Yeah. So what's your – I mean, I don't know if we have time, but what's your craziest, like, that kind of story, drinking story?
Okay. So it happened down in New Orleans.
Okay.
As many of these types of stories tend to do. My wife bought a gallon of vodka and a gallon of tequila with the intention – because it's cheap down there.
Right.
With the intention of bringing it back home.
Right. Right.
Well, a couple – myself and one of my buddies got into it. We drank half the gallon of tequila and half the gallon of vodka.
Okay.
In various mixed drinks and whatever. Mm-hmm. The place we stay at is it's like this condo place, whatever. There's no elevator or anything, and we're on the top floor. So it's like 5 flights up, right? So it's time to go upstairs. I'm annihilated. I'm the drunkest I've ever been. And I remember like – crawling up the stairs. I got to the top and walked in the room and I was like, uh-oh. And so I run around into the bathroom while my buddy was in there throwing up. So I'm like, all right, well, can't do that. I come out. I'm going to run up to the loft where I'm staying. And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to make that. So I run around into the little kitchenette area.
Okay.
And I vomit into the sink.
Okay.
I had Velveeta shells and cheese.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
It gets better.
Oh,
so I did that for a while. Then I went upstairs.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I got to vomit again. So I went into the bathroom up there and vomited. Then I was like, I got to poop. So I started to do that. And then while doing that, I was like, oh, I got to throw up again. So I yanked the shower curtain back and I threw up into the bathtub.
Was there anybody in the bathtub?
Stop right there.
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
No.
So then I finish up. I come out. I pass out in the bed. Another friend who was with us got up in the middle of the night and went into the bathroom. Well, she stepped in some of my vomit that had gotten on the floor.
Stop.
And she's like, oh, my God, I need to wash my foot off. So she pulls back the shower curtain and finds my vomit in the bathtub. And then she's like, oh, this is disgusting. I just need to go downstairs and get a drink of water. So she goes downstairs and finds Raya vomited into the kitchenette, into the sink in the kitchen.
This is disgusting.
It was like a horror movie. It was like everywhere you turned, it was like, ah! Ah!
See all the fun nights she had to look forward to?
She was unhappy. And then I should also mention the next day's activities while I was the most hungover I've ever been, airboat rides.
Okay.
Those flat boats with the giant fan. Yeah, that was the day's activities. And when you ride those, they get tearing off as fast as they can across the water and then spin them.
Okay. We have to cover this part of boxing really quick before the show wraps up because our good friend Leonardo Tyner, who's a friend of the show and is always good, has a really unique opportunity here. So I want to talk boxing as we close up the show. Sean Porter was supposed to fight Keith Thurman. It was supposed to happen March 12th, but then Keith Thurman got involved in a car accident. So the fight had to be postponed due to Keith Thurman's minor injuries. But what had happened previously is Sean Porter hadn't fought since June. because he was thinking that he would fight Keith Thurman June of last year. Was thinking he was going to fight Keith Thurman in 2015. The fight didn't materialize until this year. So he had almost taken, you know, you're getting pretty close to a year off. So to keep active and busy, he is going to have an exhibition versus our boy Leonardo Tyner in Vegas. It's going to actually be a free fight available on Facebook on Premier Boxing Champions. They're going to be wearing 16-ounce gloves and headgear. But our boy Leonardo Tyner is going out there to fight Sean Porter in an exhibition of 12 rounds. I guess there will be mock judges that will score it. This will go unofficial, though. It won't count against either fighter's record. But it's the first time that a fight has been streamed on Facebook, so it is making some boxing history.
Okay.
One thing about Leonardo Tyner, I don't know if you need to worry about the headgear as much as broken ribs, because Tyner's one of the hardest hitting boxers I've ever seen to the midsection. You got to worry about the ribs with this guy. I'm anxious to see this. This is going to happen 10 o'clock Eastern time. It's happening this Saturday, March 12th. So congrats to Leonardo Tyner getting an opportunity against Sean Porter, who Sean Porter's moving up in the boxing world. So, you know, we're going to be pulling for you, Tyner, even though it doesn't count in the record books. We know you're going to do Detroit proud. So big shout out to Undercard. I probably won't pick on that fight just because it's an exhibition. And I think no matter how well Tyner does, I'm sure the judges are put in place by Porter, so I think they would do Porter. But we are at 84% me picking this year, which is still very tremendously high. I was mad I went down 2% with just one loss this past weekend.
Yeah.
But that's the way mathematics run. We are on a very small sample size yet, but stick around and we're going to continue to pick winners for you. But, yeah, once again, Liz, 21.
Yay, Liz.
21. We produced you, Troy Lampson. That was pretty good. And he said, happy birthday.
It was the best gift I could give you. I know.
That was pretty good.
I know.
Did he send the Snapchat ever?
No, he didn't. Still okay. Waiting, Troy,
we're still waiting on that Snapchat
it's
for
okay.
The ring
Calm
card
down.
Girls.
Calm down. I got really excited there.
Slow your roll.
Next week, we will have Cody King will be actually calling in, and he will be one of our guests. And then we're working on, at the Arnold, we met a fighter from the UFC I don't want to give out. That I hope we'll have in the coming weeks, and then a Bellator champion we'll have in the coming weeks. So the show's going to be stacked over the next few weeks.
We had fun while working.
Right. Mm-hmm. This show is sponsored by the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves. That can be seen March 31st through April 3rd at the Kronk. And then also Donna Frio is bringing back the IFL Impact Fight League. It's going to be happening at Joe Louis Arena. That happens April 9th at Joe Louis Arena.
Tickets
are available at OlympiaEntertainment.com. Yeah. And so, yeah, what a show. We're going to wrap it up. I'm not going to say sing happy birthday on the way out there, Mar, because I added so much to it. I don't
You know what?
Be...
At least you said something.
I don't know one else. I
at
know.
Least you chimed in. Everybody else is just like,
bah. It's all the armchair quarterbacks critiquing me here. They didn't say anything. They
you know
what?
Yeah, you
on.
Guys can say all you want about Brad. He at least participated.
That's right.
I
was
made
involved.
The cake.
You did.
I get Sarah, participation points.
You get participation points. The rest
the
of you.
The cake was good.
The cake was delicious.
The rest
Thank
of you,
you.
Losers.
You.
Yeah.
Losers.
These mics work. Why weren't you singing? But we gotta, yeah, we definitely gotta get out of here now. We're gonna wrap it up. See you next Tuesday. Go check out the Amy Hayes interview if you haven't on Facebook.
Something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Yes, he's got himself a girl, and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.